السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب، أفلا تعقلون؟ واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من تواضع لله رفعه الله، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and all thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet again Allah Pak has given us this beautiful golden opportunity of gathering for the occasion of Jummah. Indeed, this is a great, great, great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes because we've got these things for granted, so we don't appreciate it. Ask those people, or speak to those people that are converts or reverts, that when they now appreciate what we've got, what interventions, what structures Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in Islam, see how they appreciate it and how they hold on to it. What we're seeing a little bit, that news that we're hearing and that information that we're getting of how many people are getting attracted towards Islam in the different parts of the world after these incidents that had taken place in New Zealand. Many stories are coming of how people are getting so influenced and affected by Islam, and yet these are just droplets that they're getting. They haven't tasted the sweetness of Iman. They haven't kept and haven't practiced upon the beauty of Islam and Deen that is left there in the depths of the oceans of Iman and of Shariat and of the beauty that is left in Islam. They haven't seen all that. But just that surface level that they're seeing, they're appreciating and they're grabbing and they're brought to tears. So that shows us what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Actually, the whole world is thirsty for it. The world is thirsty for it, but it's just that we haven't demonstrated, we haven't shown them what Islam is. We ourselves haven't practiced and experienced what Islam is. So therefore, we are not in a position to demonstrate and show. Imagine if the true Islam, as shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is demonstrated, immediately how these people would accept. And this deen and this Islam is such a beautiful thing, that if a person's heart is, automatically he wants to grab onto it, he wants to grip onto it. We find that the Bani Israel, the ayahs which I read in the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the ulama of the Bani Israel, that they would command people to do good, وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ, but yet they themselves would forget. They would forget themselves, وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ, yet they were reading and they knew the scriptures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains further on in the ayat of the Quran. You find that the ulama of the Bani Israel, they knew full well that Nabi alayhi salatu was salam was a Nabi. They knew full well that Islam was the true and correct religion. But two things became an obstacle on their path. And these two things are dangerous even for us up till now. And these two things will remain dangerous. And the two things that were a real obstacle for them, despite them knowing, Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu was the greatest leader or the greatest alim of the Jews at that time. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, greatest alim. He himself said, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ وَجْهَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابِ. Just one glance at the face of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the head of the Jews is saying this, one glance at the face of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's saying, I knew that this face is not the face of a liar. Nothing else. Didn't hear any teachings, didn't experience the sweetness of Iman, nothing. Just seeing the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So can you imagine what beauty is there in Iman? So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about these ulama of the Bani Israel specifically, that they knew full well that this deen was the correct deen. And the thing that was an obstacle to them was the fact that they had great recognition amongst their people. So for the fear of losing that following, for the fear of losing that recognition, they didn't want to bring faith. They didn't want to bring Iman. And the second thing that came with that recognition and that following was the perks. Nowadays also you'll find that many of the other deens in other religions, you'll find that the priests and the pastors, etc., that they get a lot of perks and a lot of benefits because of their position. So these people didn't want to lose their position and didn't want to lose those benefits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a prescription here. That wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. That seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with patience and salah. Sometimes we might think to ourselves that one is the prescription and one is the sickness. Normally there is a link between the sickness and the prescription. What is the link between sabr and salah? Sabr and salah interconnecting between themselves. And sabr and salah with the sickness that is not allowing people to accept the truth. Not allowing them to accept Islam. What is the link? So ulama explains so beautifully that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us something very important. That when a person has got sabr in his life, he's got this quality of tolerance, he's got this quality of holding back, he's got this quality of controlling himself. So this quality helps a person to save him from haram. For example, if there's a beautiful woman walking past, the temptation is there to look, he'll control himself from that haram, he won't look. Or if a person is compelled or he's feeling that he needs to say something, somebody is upsetting him, he feels like he needs to swear that person. And unfortunately today you're even getting stories of children swearing the fathers. That the children are not even answering or not respecting the parents. So even that type of situation where a person has got sabr, automatically that sabr will kick in and tell the person, I shouldn't be saying anything. This person is old, I got to respect the person. I got to show my akhlaq. So this way sabr comes in, it saves a person from doing many haram things. Person wants to get involved in bribery, corruption. The deal is looking so lucrative. But he knows that's grey stock. He knows these are doubtful items. He knows there's bribery involved. He knows there's interest involved. Immediately that brakes comes on. Better than that ABS braking is the braking of sabr. It helps the person to stop immediately and he does not proceed with that haram. So the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, one control to bring in place to stop us from haram, is bring this quality of sabr. And the next thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Bring salah. What is the relationship between salah? Salah, ulama explain, it helps a person to control himself and restrain himself even from halal. Sabr helps a person to refrain from haram. Salah even helps a person to refrain from halal. What is meant by this? Is when a person starts his salah, Allahu Akbar, now he can't talk. He's not allowed to talk. So that person, that friend of his that he would talk to, that alim that he would talk to, those, that wife and children that he could talk to, the moment he says Allahu Akbar, he can't even talk to them. That food that was halal for him to eat, that water that was halal for him to drink, those fruit and that mitai, whatever it may be, was halal for him to enjoy before that Allahu Akbar. Once he says Allahu Akbar, even that halal also, he is compelled now to refrain from halal also. So that wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah, a person is taught that refrain from those things that are haram and put controls in place that you are able to control yourself even from those things that are halal. And a person who's got this in his life, you'll find that even for him to die it becomes very easy. Why? He's got a control in his life. Now he knows that this is not good for me, that is not good for me. There isn't a thing about him fighting with himself and trying to motivate himself and having this cheat day and that cheat day. Why a person has got these controls? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us something very important. That bring these things. And these things, if a person can control himself from haram and he can control himself from halal, what will be there now for a person to give up what is he knows that is not correct for the sake of something that he knows is correct? So therefore Allah Pak has put this. And then Allah Pak went further on to say, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Even this also is difficult. This is difficult except for that person that humbly submits himself. Humbly he submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's got this quality of submission in his life. When he's got this quality of submission in his life, then for him to accept the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very, very easy. Why? This humility is something that gives and causes a person to display the best of characters even in the most difficult time. But take away humility from a person, even at easy moments also a person wants to show and display his arrogance. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned in hadith, man tawadha'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah. Recently, we all, or many of us may have heard bayans on mi'raj, etc. But the sabak that came out of the whole mi'raj was this quality of humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He displayed that humility, he displayed that akhlaq. Even in his du'as also, that humility and akhlaq is displayed. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he displayed humility. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Forget man, in this hadith which I said, man tawadha'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah. That person who humbles himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him. But when it came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he humbled himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trials and tribulations from his own family to such an extent that he was stoned in Taif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not only elevate him from a spiritual perspective, from a physical perspective also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him and took him to heights. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in return for a person that has got humility. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ. Even this also, that bringing the sabr and salah in your life, obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is difficult unless you can humbly submit yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us an easy way of bringing this. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That these people, that they know that they're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have akhirat in front of them, they have death in front of them. That one day I'm going to die, one day I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day I'll have to answer for every single thing that I say, for every single thing that I do, for every single thing that I am involved in, I'm going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person has got akhirat in front of him, immediately that helps him to bring. What a beautiful prescription. The month of Ramadan is coming very, very soon. And we find that these two things are found in a great proportion in the month of Ramadan. That a person is forced to make sabr. A person will have to bring sabr as far as his eating is concerned, as far as his normal routine is concerned. Many things he'll have to practice upon the sabr is concerned in the month of Ramadan. And the other thing that will come in also in the month of Ramadan is salah, the increase of tarawih salah. So therefore a person from now, if he practices and he brings this in his life, then automatically when the month of Ramadan comes, then this is a seamless integration that he will have from the month of Shaaban entering the month of Ramadan. But if a person is unconcerned and he doesn't desire and he doesn't design to put these things right from now, the month of Ramadan will come in and a person suddenly will find himself to make major adjustments. So therefore from now, the pious people from long before, therefore the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaaban wa balighna Ramadan, is not just a dua. But it's a dua that got to do with the psychological impact of a person. That automatically prepare yourself already for that great month to come. From Rajab already you're preparing yourself and you're making dua. Then oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allow us to see this month of Ramadan. It's a great month. It's like a person who intends running the Comrades Marathon. But he doesn't do any type of preparation. He says on that day, when that day comes, then we'll see what happens. Then we'll say that person is a fool, or it's like a person that wants to write the board examinations, but he does no preparation. He say when that day comes and we'll see what happens, we'll say that person is a fool. So like that a great, great, great month is coming. If we all should try and put our affairs in order from now, try and bring and practice upon our salah from now, get our practice in order for salah from now, get this ability of control in ourselves from now. So when the month of Ramadan comes, it's just a matter of person increasing that acceleration and improving, and a person moving ahead now in the beautiful month of Ramadan. So we find that this last part of this ayat which I mentioned, that person who remembers akhirat and has akhirat in front of him, then for this person now, it becomes easy to practice upon this. Why? Because all the time he is thinking about that plan that he needs to make. You find in this world we've got a motor plan. Sometimes a person has got a medical plan. Sometimes a person has got a different type. When people talk of different retirement plans and other plans, everybody has some type of plan that when I retire, I must have some source of income. When I hit 65, I won't be able to work so much. So this must be my plan. But we all have to ask ourselves, have we got a qabr plan? Have we got a qabr plan? When we go into the qabr, what is our plan? What returns are going to come there into that qabr? Have we made any investment for that qabr that is coming? That plan we'll make for as far as the dunya is concerned, our retirement and our children's plan, and as far as our motor plan is concerned, because we see this in front of us. This is like a reality in front of us every day. But the greater reality than our cars and our investments and our returns in this world is the reality of the qabr. What plan have we made? So when we go in that qabr, we got investments coming. So therefore, these are beautiful moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the moments of the month of Ramadan coming, the night of Shab-e Barat is about to fall very soon. So these are moments and opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us so that we can reflect and we can think about the qabr. I'll just terminate and finish off. Time is almost elapsed. The dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a simple dua, nearly every one of us knows it, and most probably, inshallah, most of us read it before we retire to bed. The dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has such an affinity, such a compatibility, such a recognition of death, such a recognition of Akhirat that it was something to him, and he taught us that let this also be your mindset, that that is something very close. It is not something distant, far away, that you'll have to hit 80, 90 before you see death. It can hit you any time. That every night before sleeping, he would say this dua, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your name am I dying, and O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your name do I come to life. Bismika amutu wahya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with your name do I die. So every time person is sleeping, he's thinking that this is a mini death. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up, he would say this du'as, Alhamdulillah illadhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. Reminding a person, reminding himself that I'm waking up. There's a day that's going to come when I'm going to wake up on the day of Qiyamah, and I'm going to be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us bring this Akhirat in front of us. Let us make this Akhirat reality. So then to bring all these things in our life becomes very easy. May Allah give us tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.